We're continuing the book of Colossians. And if you remember the last time we were together, we looked at this subject of continuing in prayer and the vitality of it, of having this communion, this relationship with God. You can't substitute for this. There's no substitute for it. There's no shortcut. I need to be with Jesus Christ. I can't miss being with the Lord. We saw that we needed this to be earnest in prayer, vigilant in prayer, and giving thanks in prayer. And Paul says, meanwhile, I'm going to come from here, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains. Remember we said Paul, who was in prison, wasn't saying, I want you to pray to get me out of prison. He was not praying that the doors of the prison would open, but he was praying that the doors would open for the word of God to go forward. Praise God for that emphasis. Isn't that a wonderful emphasis? It's a different emphasis than the world's way. And sadly, sometimes the church's way, where sometimes people in the church are praying for more success, for more of this and more of that and more of the other thing. And here's Paul laying, languishing in a prison, and he's not praying to get out of the prison. That's crazy, isn't it? He's saying, I just want effective doors to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where his heart was. That's where his passion was. And friends, when we move away from that place where Christ is all, where he's the center of our experience, and when all we're looking is for the creature comforts of this world, we miss the boat. We miss the reality of what it is to be with God. He was praying. And I want you to notice this. For a door, he didn't say a door for myself. He didn't say a door for what I can do. He said a door for the word. For the word. For the truth of God. It is the word of God that is quick and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that word of God is not Paul's word, and it's not your word, and it's not my word. It's the word of the Spirit. Because we understand in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So the Holy Spirit must wield the word. If you wield it on your own, be the bluntest thing. But when the Spirit of God takes the truth of the Word of God and brings it forth, it can pierce all the way into people's hearts and souls. And to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Amazing. He didn't say, I pray that the chains will be broken. I prayed I'll get out of the prison and that I might make it plain as I ought to speak. But Paul doesn't stop there. He's crying out and he's asking, he's saying, I need prayer. I want to make the word of God clear. I want to make it plain. And I've said there's people who are praying for me. If I'm going to be preaching the word of God and it's going to be any effect, it's going to have to be the word of God. It's going to have to be the Spirit of God. And it's going to have to be people praying for me. I don't do this on my own. There are hundreds of people who pray for me on a regular basis every single day. And I hope some of you are some of those. And they don't stop praying. I've got a dear friend there down in Tennessee who's from Inverness originally, Mary Bartlett, and I don't know, she's 97, 98, somewhere in that range now, and she is praying for me every single day. I'm on the top of her list, she says. That's nice to know. I pray God will keep her alive for another 10 years because I suspect when she dies, there's going to be a little vacuum there. I might feel like I'm a balloon that gets deflated. Prayer holds us up. So I'm scrambling for more people to pray for me. More the better. Because that's where the strength comes from. I marvel sometimes how God can take somebody like me and that I can preach. And I know the Spirit of God is working. The power of God is present. But I know it's not me. I know that. I feel like a fly on a wall watching God work. Because it's the power of God. And it's because people pray. It's the way God has designed his economy to work. If it wasn't that way, the Apostle Paul wouldn't be asking for prayer while he's in prison, that the door of the word would be open, that he'd be able to make it clear, make it plain, as he ought to speak. He wouldn't be bothering to ask for such a thing so that he could make that speak the mystery of Christ and be able to proclaim it to people.
He wasn't thinking of himself.
No. It was for the sake of the gospel that he was there in the first place. Not only other prisoners, but he had a liberty in the Roman prison. He had a liberty for people to come and see him in the prison. So people from all the people that were in Rome were coming to visit Paul in prison. Christians were coming, bringing lost people, and he had liberty to share. He had to stay in the prison. He had a guard watching him, but he could have visitors. He did. And on top of that, he was writing letters to all these churches that we're reading now. So he being dead, as we were talking about earlier today, he being dead yet speaks. Right now, we're hearing from the Apostle Paul, who was writing in a prison 2,000 years ago. Was it effective? Was he all bottled up? Oh, no, I'm in prison. I can't do anything for God. Absolutely not. So don't allow the outward circumstances to discourage you and keep you from serving God in where you are and trusting that God can open doors in places that we wouldn't even imagine. A Roman prison, and that Roman prison is still pouring out light into the world through the power of the Spirit of God, as this letter is being even taught tonight and has been taught over and over again in many other prison letters from the Apostle Paul. It's amazing, isn't it? Oh, Lord, aren't his ways past finding out? Aren't we better off trusting that he knows what he's doing? Like we saw this morning in Shetty Camp, I was saying, God knows what he's doing. Let the Lord have his way. There's a little chorus. Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has his way. Place your life in his hands. Rest secure in his plans. Let the Lord have his way. Isn't that a good idea? Amen. Oh, it is, friends. Oh, God knows what he's doing, and we can trust him. We don't see the big picture. God does. I think a lot of times we're making prayers to God, and God's saying, will you stop that? Will you please be quiet? Get close to me. Find out what I want and start praying that. But we are so focused often on the temporary things. If only we can feel good for the rest of our lives. If only everything goes the way we want it to go. And we miss the depth of things that God really wants for us, because we set our own agendas. Let's set them aside. Let's say, okay, God, you set the agenda now. Show me, Lord, teach me. Let me be surrendered. Let me be yielded. Let me wait on you. Who knows what God will do through you? D.L. Moody once said, the world has yet to see what God can do through one person who surrendered totally to Jesus Christ. He's probably right. Because to be completely surrendered all the time. Lord, let it be at least that we could say, Lord, if I don't know if I'll be surrendered tomorrow, I can be surrendered now. Let's take the moment, because if we don't have the moment, we'll always dream about someday I'll serve God. Someday I'll be surrendered. But oh, now is the time. And there is not one drawback right now that can keep you from being surrendered. There's not one circumstance in your life, whatever it is, whether you were in prison, or whether you're having struggles, whether you're going through trials, whether you're facing sickness, none of those things need keep you from saying, Lord, take me now completely and draw me there and bring me there and keep me there, oh God, as we begin to walk in the Spirit. But you know, the purpose of these things, the purpose of God has for us to be surrendered and yielded to him is not just so that we can say, I'm enjoying God now. This is good. I feel really great right now. And that's the object of it. No, it isn't. At times you won't feel so great. I'm sure that if Paul rolled over in a Roman prison, he didn't quite feel so good as far as his physical body was concerned. And you know some of the stuff that he went through, how he was beaten and whipped and trashed and almost drowned in the ocean. None of those experiences weren't like, oh, I can't wait. I'm going down for the third time. This is awesome. You know, he wasn't enjoying those experiences. But in all of it, he knew that God was sovereign and that God was in control. He trusted him. But his purpose is to take you farther. And here we begin to see some of that purpose in the instructions from Paul here. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Now, who's the outside ones? The ones who are not saved yet. The ones who are still lost in their sins. And so we can see that Paul's look for himself was an outward look, wasn't it? I want to have an effective door of the word. I want to make it plain to people. But he doesn't only say that about himself, but now he says it to the entire Christian body, I want you to walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Making the most of the time, let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt. You may know how you ought to answer each one. So he gives a very practical instruction here in saying, I want you to know that God wants you, the Spirit of God wants you to walk in wisdom towards people who are lost. So I want to share for a few moments tonight about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the first thing to understand here is that there's a walk involved here. There's the walk of your life, not just the talk. But there's a wisdom involved. And that it's not just a casual walk, but there is a wisdom. And that wisdom is a wisdom that comes from God in how do I approach lost people? How do I do that? Have you ever wondered that yourself? How can I reach lost people? What's the best way for me to do this? Now we can say, well, you know, it says in the Bible, this is what it says, so just tell them what it says, and whatever they do with it, that's up to them. And I can tell you this, there's not a lot of wisdom in that kind of a statement. There needs to be a sensitivity and an understanding of where people are. Yes, we need to tell them the word, but what's the point in saying the word to somebody who's not listening? They're not listening. What's the point of it if it's bouncing right off of them? There has to be a softening of the heart. So here's one thing for sure. If you're going to walk in wisdom toward those who are without, go back to what the first thing that we said in this passage was what? Continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Pray much. Pray much. Pray for the people that you're going to approach. Pray for those whom you have a burden for. Pray as much as you would even dare to speak to them. And more. Prepare with prayer. Walk in wisdom towards those who are without. If you're going to walk in wisdom, be a praying person. Be a person who is lifting them up before the throne of God. Be a person who's crying out to God and saying, Lord, I need wisdom from you. Not my wisdom here, but your wisdom. So that's the first thing I want to share. If you're going to walk in wisdom towards those who are without. The second thing that I want you to think about in walking in wisdom to those who are without is that there's two wrong ways that we can approach witnessing. One is that we're just terrified to do it. We just can't. We're scared to death of saying anything to anybody, because for one thing, we might lose our reputation. People might think ill of us. They might think we're nuts. They might say, well, you know, you're one of those crazy nuts who believe the Bible, and you might be shunned. Those are all possibilities, aren't they? Yeah. Those things could happen. But if we allow ourselves to be governed by that fear, we are not walking in wisdom. We have come to a place where we're paralyzed, and we think somehow that God is not sufficient for those things. Or I don't know what to say, and I could never say anything, and they would never listen to me anyway, so I'm not going to say anything at all. Don't get caught in that trap. And here's the other side of it. The other side is that we think that we can just get out there and get it done without being sensitive to the people that we are sharing with. We think that it's just a matter of just telling it as like it is, and then it's up to them what they want to do with it. Not realizing that there's a wisdom that's here, a wisdom that says this. Jesus said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Oh, that's a nice picture, isn't it? How do you think a sheep would feel going out in a whole bunch of wolves? Huh? But Jesus said, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, that might make you feel terrified, but I'll tell you, who's doing the sending? Jesus is. And he even said, look, if you stand before kings, if you stand before rulers, I will give you what you need. And he said that, didn't he? I will give you what you need. So he says, I'm sending you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, I don't know if it'd be a smart thing for a sheep to just come rushing out and say, okay, you bunch of wolves, I want you to sit down and listen to me right now. I think they might sit down to dinner, right? Yeah. So he's saying here, you've got to be wise in how you approach. There's got to be a wisdom as wise as a serpent, and at the same time as harmless as a dove. And that makes, how does that work? Well, one thing for sure is that if you're going to go and try to witness to people, you need to know them. Get to know the person. Be sensitive to who they are. Understand where they are in life. Meet them where they are. You know, you can get to a point where you know a bunch of Bible verses and you have this Christian talk in your head and you think they're going to understand what you're saying, but you're speaking another language that they don't know. So you have to be so sensitive and careful. Do you put your mind, you take their mind and say, okay, how would they be? What would they be thinking? Where would they be at when it comes to God? It's one of the things that I know I need to do over and over again. When I talk to people, I think about them in terms of the fact that they don't know anything. I don't treat them as if they know anything. I don't assume that they understand what I'm saying. I don't assume any of that. Instead, I keep sensitively saying to God, show me how I can reach these people. So walking in wisdom toward them, hey, maybe they're working on their house or something. Come alongside them. Say, hey, can I give you a hand? Right? I'm building a bridge toward them. We need to build bridges to people. We need to be sensitive to where they are. When I go visiting in a home, the first thing I do is I look around at the walls. I don't even know what's on the walls in our own house. I am clueless about that. But I tell you, when I go to visit somebody in their home, I'm looking around. I'm looking to see what they're interested in. And if they're interested in golf, which I'm not, thank you, I'll try to talk about golf with them. Why? Because suddenly their guard comes down. You got to be wise, right? I talk to them about whatever it is they might be interested in, and I become interested in it. Even though chasing a white ball around the field does not appeal to me, I still will become interested in it because I want them to be comfortable. You know, if you go fishing, there's no point in going fishing for a mackerel and bring in some kind of bait that's for a, you know, for a whale. It would be a waste of time. I need to put in front of people what it is that can draw them. So, and the Bible actually likens to evangelism to going fishing. It does. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. So I need to be sensitive to where people are at and try to go where they are. You know what the Apostle Paul said? To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I by all means save some. He actually said that. He goes that extra mile. He says, I will come alongside of people. I will be with them. You know, like one day I was visiting in Inverness, for example, and I come into a home, and there is three rummies. They were all bloated, drunk, right? And they were all passing a bottle around. They didn't even have a chair. They were all sitting on the floor. So what did I do? I'm not going into this house. I'll go somewhere where people are nicer. Come on, sit down. So I came in and I sat down. I sat on the floor with them. And we talked. And most of what we said didn't make any sense at all. But they sure appreciated that a preacher would come and sit on the floor with three drunks. Now, when the bottle came around, I said, guys, have at it, but not me. I said, I used to, but I don't anymore. You sure you don't want to have one? Are you sure? Yep, I'm positive, buddy. Yeah, I am. But I was able to, even in their drunken state, I could share the gospel with them. I'm not saying they got saved or they didn't get saved, but I am saying at least I built a bridge towards them. Reached across the divide. And we need to be looking for ways that we can reach into people's lives. We need to be creative. How can I reach people? How can I get into their hearts? How can I get into their homes, into their community? How can I have the opportunity to share the gospel? Because for some people, you're not going to get the right to even share with them. They won't even let you. I was sitting with a guy in a crate and down at the river. A guy came to buy a fish from me. And we were talking about the Lord. And he says to me, guy from Mabo, and he says to me, well, the one thing I hate is people coming and talking to me about Jesus and people knocking on my door and telling me about God, he said. But then he says, but where were we? we went back to talking about Jesus and God. Why? Because I was another fisherman talking to a fisherman, and we were sitting there and relating back and forth. And I wasn't preaching at him. I was sharing with him. God can use us in the everyday affairs of life, but oh, how sensitive we need to be. We aren't going to just preach to them, and that's going to work. Now, there's no way that we can get around the gospel. I'm not trying to get around the gospel here, friends. And there is such a thing as friendship evangelism. Some people have an idea of friendship evangelism. You become friends with them, but you never let them on that you're a Christian, and then you spring it on them after you become friends. I'm not saying to do that. You don't hide who you are, but you reach out and you become friends with people. People need to know that you care. Otherwise, why are you here? What are you doing here? It's like when a Jehovah's Witness comes to visit me, and I say, why are you here? Well, because, you know, I said, you're here to save your own skin. And they are. Because if they don't keep doing this, they ain't going to make it, right? They're not there for you. They're there for themselves. But Christians can say, I'm not here for myself. I'm here for you. And that ought to be reflected in attitudes that we have, in the way that we try to reach people, even if they're ornery to us, even if they're mean to us. So what? That doesn't matter. We're there to share the love of God. So we need the attitude of becoming all things to all men, that we might by all means save some. That is identifying with people where they are. Years ago, when a man named Hudson Taylor went to China, there were missions that were in China already. And the missionaries from England, they had their coats on with their little buckles and belts and, you know, in proper English dress. And Hudson Taylor shows up there, and he's wearing English clothes too. And these guys are coming out to preach to the Chinese, and they're more interested in what's this little tassel on your coat for? Which they couldn't even answer themselves. And finally, Hudson Taylor realized that their clothing was a barrier. It was a distraction. So what does he do? He puts on Chinese dress, and he shaves his head the way they had it and wears it like that. And all of a sudden, he's one of them, and he could reach into their hearts and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God give us that kind of heart that's willing to come alongside of people and be with them. It doesn't mean we compromise the truth. It doesn't mean we come short in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it means that we win the right to be able to speak with them. And that's why we need to be wise as serpents. And that's why we need to become all things to all men, that we by some means win some. Walk in wisdom towards those who are without, it says. Because we need to bring them in. We need to reach them. And we can be praying and say, okay, God, how can we reach our community? As a group, how can we reach our community? We had those brainstormings in Shetty Camp early, and we began to ask for ways. One of them was a radio program that Heather had mentioned. And now I've been running a radio program for 7 years there. And half of Shetty Camp listens to it every Sunday. Now, how that works out, you know, I'm just praying that the Lord will bring fruit. It softens hearts. I know I can talk to people. I was at the drugstore one day, and I was paying for something, and an old man behind me says, I know you. I turn around and says, I don't know who you are. And he said, I hear your voice every Sunday. I know your voice. He had never seen me, but he recognized my voice as I was paying for something at the drugstore. It may take years for that to bear fruit in people's lives, but I'm sharing the gospel every week to half of Shetty Camp. That's something, isn't it? Yeah. And so praise the Lord. And you know, whenever the radio station was approached, they said, well, we don't want any preaching. We'll take gospel music if you want to do that. So Robin LaPointe actually started doing it, and then I took over it after that. But it wasn't, I said, no problem, because I'm going to introduce every song. And when I introduce every song, what do you think I'm doing? I'm sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ every time. Walk in wisdom towards those who are without. We saw that at the old folks' manor in Shetty Camp. We went there, and there was somebody there who was part of us, so we could have a service there. So we had a service. And I was preaching. Once a month, we'd go there and have this service. But there was maybe a couple of people from the manor were coming in. The rest of them were all outside. So when we would do the music, they were all sitting in the waiting room on the outside to hear the music. But They wouldn't come in because this was a non-Catholic service. And that was like, you don't go to those things. So it finally crescendoed to one evening. We were singing inside, and a lot of them wanted to hear it, and some of them didn't want the other people to listen to it. So one lady would get up and slam the door shut where we were meeting so that the other ones couldn't hear it. And then another lady would get up and rip the door open. And so it was bang, whoop, bang. And this went on for about half an hour pretty near. It was crazy. At the end of it all, and here was the director who was there, who really didn't seem much of a fan of what I was preaching or teaching, but she said, you know, there's a lot of people want to come, but if it's a service, like an official service, they don't feel like they can come. But if you just did a concert, they would come. You know, when she said that, I kind of thought, well, I'm here to preach the word in my mind. And I realized, oh no, that's not wise. I'm getting good advice here. So I said, well, let's try that. So the next month, we showed up, and it was advertised, we're having a concert. Oh, we can go to a concert. They all came. They all came and piled in, and they've been coming ever since. Every time we come and do a concert. But am I sharing the gospel? Absolutely. Between every song, they're getting the same thing they would get in a service, just that they don't know it. Walk in wisdom towards those that are without. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. That doesn't mean we're being sneaky, because I'm telling him outright what we're doing and trusting God for the wisdom of how to do these things. And individually with people, we have to be careful. We can't just be tactless and just say whatever we want to say, and that's it. We will turn people off, and it can take years to bring them back out of it. I did enough of it. And I did it to my own family. I thought I was going to win them all. I lined them all up and told them they were all going to hell. It didn't work. It didn't work. They wouldn't even listen to me after that. It took years for them to see a change in my heart and a tenderness towards them. I literally did. I had them all in the living room. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. I did. Don't do that. It doesn't work. I proved it. So I had to. Sometimes we have to undo what we've done, and sometimes that can take time and years. But God can give us wisdom and grace to be able to do it. You know, the Apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy, and he said, "Preach the word." That's what's underneath there, okay? Preach the word, he said. Be ready in season and out of season. It doesn't mean we don't share the truth. Look for every opportunity to share the truth of God. It may not be that you can do that the first time you see somebody, you're going to get a Bible verse in there and think, well, I've done it, I got a Bible verse in. But rather, as you reach people, you have an intention to share the truth of the Word of God. Sometimes you'll be able to do it the first time, sometimes maybe the second, the third time. But when it says preach the Word, it doesn't mean get on a soapbox and shout at people. It means share the truth. Proclaim the truth. It doesn't mean that I have to be a preacher to do that. It just means I'm proclaiming truth to people. And how I do it, is often with a soft-spoken word, will win a lot more people than if I shout it all out, you know. I find sometimes preachers, they're sitting down, they're talking to you, and they're like, they're one person. But when they get up in front, all of a sudden, it's like they've been transformed into somebody else. And sometimes, I don't know what that is. I'm the same person as I'm sitting there talking to you at the table. I want to be the same person up here. May the Spirit of God be upon me at all times. But sometimes people think that they shout louder and do whatever, say things in a different way, like, oh, that somehow that's more of the Spirit of God. I don't believe that for a minute. God uses us. We don't have to try and change ourselves to be something different. And actually, preachers get training to do that. I don't want that. Yes, share the Word of God. Be ready in season and out of season. That's what comes back to what it says here. Redeeming the time. Make the most of the time. Take those opportunities to share. So listen, don't hold back in the way of being out of fear to share with somebody. People want to know. People are curious. They want to know more than you think. The devil will always tell you they'll never listen. Don't bother. Don't listen to the devil's voice in that. So with it, have intention in your heart to share the truth of the Word of God with your friends, your neighbors, your family. Have that intention. And then pray it through and say, okay, God, how can I do this? Show me. Open a door for me, Lord. Is that what Paul said? Open a door, Lord. So then look for the door and then take the door. It might be a take time. It may be going alongside and helping them with something or asking them if they're struggling. Would you like me to pray for you? Would you like me to pray with you right now? Now, I know that can be scary, but yeah, they all said no. One of these days, somebody will say yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so we keep looking for the opportunities, keep reaching out, keep praying, and keep asking God, Lord, open doors so we can share the Word of God. You know, when we look in the Bible, we find the Apostle Paul, as he shared with the Jews, Peter did the same. And Stephen, before he was stoned to death, that's what happened to him when he shared, but he still shared, right? They referred to the Old Testament. They referred to verses in the Old Testament. Why did they do that? And the Jews knew the Old Testament. They knew the verses. They knew the promises, the prophecies about Jesus. But when he gets up on Mars Hill and speaks to the Greeks, did he use the Old Testament scriptures? No, he didn't. He used the circumstances that they were in. He used creation. He spoke about how God made all things. Now, that's a truth from the Old Testament, but he wasn't quoting Old Testament scripture to them because they didn't know what it was. They were Greeks. They didn't understand the Old Testament. They'd never read it. And he used the circumstances that were around them, the temples to all the gods, and he speaks about the unknown God and says, I want to tell you about the unknown God. So he was being wise, you see. You can't cookie cutter this. You can't say, well, I've got my four verses and I'm going to get out there and I'm going to save the world. You come to people, you meet, see where they are, you're sensitive to where they are. And it was different when he testified to King Agrippa. King Agrippa did know the Old Testament scriptures, but as Paul shared with him, he refers to the life of Christ. As he shares with them, he gives his own testimony. He tells them what God had done in his life. But it's the same message of salvation through Jesus Christ was there every single time. You see what I'm saying? May God give us some wisdom in how to go about this. Know some Bible verses. Be ready, it says, to give an answer. Let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt. You may know how you ought to answer each one. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have within you as people ask you. So there's a sense of being ready to share truth. So have some Bible verses. At least have John 3:16 memorized. Okay? At least have that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You can share the gospel from that because you can start with this. God loves you. God loves you. That's something people need to hear. Somebody loves them. That's a good start, isn't it? God loves them. But God so loved the world, so he loves you, that he gave his only Son. What did he give his Son for? And you can say why. We have a problem, our sin. But God so loved you that he gave his Son to die on a cross for your sins. Do you see how you can share the gospel from John 3:16 simply to anyone? That whoever believes that what he calls on us to do is to put our trust in him. And if you do, you will not perish. You will not be lost. But instead, you'll have everlasting life. You can speak of hell. You can speak of heaven. You can say so much just out of John 3:16 alone. So have at least that verse memorized. And be ready to share it with someone. And when it says, let your speech be always with grace, it's not just saying to be gracious to people, which we should be. Oh, may we be very gracious. May we be sympathetic. May we be understanding. May we be gentle in how we approach. And you know, the same thing goes for if you get new believers who just get saved. Sometimes you think, well, they should be like this. Really? Is that the way it always is with people? I've watched people go from here to here, but sometimes it takes time. And, you know, it's like maybe you got somebody coming who's all they can do is curse and swear upside down and right every which way. And, you know, sometimes when that happens, I might say something, but I might not right away. And then I'll begin to actually chip away at it just gently with someone and begin to say, you know, this is what God says about that. But with love and gentleness and respect. And people will respond to that. And I've watched people's tongues come completely cleaned up by the power of God. I don't even remember how cursing, it just fell away from me. And that happens to some people, it's just instant. Other people, they're not even aware of words that they say that aren't right. And you can drive, fix it all. I'm going to get that person straightened out right away now. I'll just get them to talk right just the way they should as a good little Christian. You're not going to do that. God is going to do that. Be sensitive. Pray. Say, Lord, what part do you have me to play here? Do I have something to say here? Or, Lord, do I be quiet and know that they're being loved in the moment? There's a time and a place for everything. But let your speech be always with grace. It really means the mercy, the kindness. That's what grace is it not? It's undeserved favor. So let your speech be full of undeserved favor towards people. No righteousness, self-righteousness, no puffing oneself up. You're no better than the person that you're speaking to. But in humility, we approach people. And then it says, season with salt. So listen, make sure you carry a salt shaker with you. And just before you speak, right? Season with salt. Why does it say season with salt?
Salt makes it taste better.
Pardon me?
Salt makes it taste better.
Oh, yeah.
And salt preserves.
Yes. It makes things better and it preserves things. So when it says seasoned with salt, make it that your speech is flavorable. Listen, we've got a message that a lot of people are going to reject. And that's okay. That will happen. You know, I'm not saying that the gospel's not going to bring offense and that people aren't going to get mad at you and tell you to get lost. That can happen. It will. But don't let it be because of your approach. Right? Don't let it be because you put a wall up. You put a barrier up. Be gentle. Be approachable. What did Jesus say about himself? Come to me, he says. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. He says, you can approach me. I'm approachable. May we be approachable. May we be those who have that gentleness about us and that our speech is not against people, but for them, seasoned with salt. That is, there's flavor to it, that they can understand what you're saying and that they can understand your heart in the process because you're full of grace and mercy towards them so that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I didn't get so much into the nuts and bolts, though I shared John 3:16 with you, but I got more tonight into what your attitude is. Please have an attitude of being ready to share. Please understand that we need to go where people are at, try to identify with them as much as you can, and then graciously, kindly, and wonderfully share truths of God with them. It's God's work all the way. Sometimes it means inviting them to a church service. Other times, if they mention church, they're like scared rabbits and they want to run as far away from you as they can, which means you reach them where they are, and then eventually they'll probably come to a church service. Whatever it is, be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to the leading of the Lord, so that you might do things the way God would do it. I'm going to close just briefly as we think of Jesus sitting on a well one day in John chapter 4, and as he's sitting on that well, he was weary from his journey, he sat by the well, it was high noon, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus didn't say to her, you need to listen to me. I have a message for you right now. He didn't say that to her. She was a Samaritan woman. She was a woman that Jews have nothing to do with. Besides, men didn't talk to women like this, one-on-one. The disciples were surprised that they spoke to this woman. He sits on the well, waits for her to come to get the water. She knows he's a Jew by their dress. They dress differently. And Jesus says three little words to her, give me a drink. He was being intentional. He was building a bridge. She was blown away by his little question. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask of me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? She's already asking questions. See? Now, he's giving answers. And what does he do? He shares that he's the water of life. You see, it was with grace, it was with gentleness, it was with respect, and yet it was with the word of God. He accompanied it with the truth. And he used that illustration of water to speak about him being the very water of life. And what happens to that woman? Transformation.
The whole town.
The whole town. Who knows what God can do if we just be open to God. It's God's work, friends. Trust him. He will use you if you're ready and if you're willing. Father, we ask you tonight, make us those who are ready and willing. Lord, help us to walk in wisdom towards those who are without. Lord, make us sensitive to lost people around us. We can go about our own business and just go through our days, but every one of those people, if they don't trust Christ, if they're not saved, they will end up in hell. That's the reality, Lord. So give us a burden for lost people and give us ways that we can reach them. We ask for collective ways to reach this community. We ask for ways to reach Shetty Camp, Father, for more people to be able to hear the gospel and be able to share with them and the personal contact with them. We ask for Mike and Janvern Island and over in the Arashat area. Give him ways to reach people, Father, and to touch lives. And Lord, we're just thankful that the Holy Spirit can guide us. That though, Lord, it's not concrete in every way, we can trust that the Spirit of God can guide every one of us in the workplace, with friends, in the community, in events or whatever. Give us that heart that we're looking for the opportunities, and I know you'll give them, Lord. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can do this, that this is a call of God on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.